Deadpanites.
Come out to play.
Deadpanites.
Come out to play.
Deadpanites.
Come out to play.
Hola, and welcome to Jack Mangan's Deadpan number 125, right? 125. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, a.k.a. the representative of the Southwestern, that's how I like my women, joke appreciation society. And while I'm at it, I'd like to extend a sincere thanks to the grocery retail chain Fresh and Easy. Just like black and bitter coffee, your existence makes our world much better. Thank you. I'm going to keep the intro babble to somewhat of a minimum this week. But, yeah. In fact, that's it.
This is a warning from the emergency podcast system. Officials have stated that Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp of Technorama have escaped after only serving 1 year of their life sentences. Chuck and Craig are considered unarmed and dangerous to your mental stability. It is expected that they will soon be producing Technorama weekly podcasts again. You are advised to go to chuckchat.com and listen for further instructions before they steampunk one of your loved ones.
You're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast, the perfect accompaniment to get a dirty lesbian clean.
Hey, Jack and my fellow Deadpanites. This is Chris the Fixed Kitty of the Adult Space Child-Free Podcast at gettingby.net and the Steampunk Spectacular Podcast at steampunkspectacular.com. And I have for you today the contents of stuff I bought on today's errand-running shopping trip. So first, somewhere in my purse here, I have a foot of silver chain and a foot of antique brass chain.
It's useless now, isn't it?
At the bead store to finish up some projects. I have the immense amount of crap mail from the mailbox. Because, you know, I need all of those ads telling me to get pizza delivered. And then I went to the used bookstore. I am pleased to say that, let's see, I got $45 in credit and I only spent $46. So I spent a dollar in the used bookstore only, which is probably a personal record.
Oh, good for you!
Hi, this is Susie from How to Grow Your Geek, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. No, really, you are. I promise.
So in the first Tim Burton Batman, Jack Torrance apparently didn't freeze to death at the Possessed Hotel in Colorado. He works in Gotham City for the Ripley's Believe It or Not Guys crime syndicate. Lando Calrissian is the DA, but he is powerless against the city's rampant criminal activity. But then Mr. Mom knocks the About Schmidt guy into a vat of acid. And when he gets out, he hires the weird mechanic guy from Repo Man to be his main henchman for his own crime wave. While he also tries to romance the hot chick from 9½ Weeks. Arliss from that forgotten HBO series keeps hitting on her, too. In the second movie, Pee-wee Herman puts his newborn son, Louie, from Taxi, into the sewers, where he grows up and tries to run for mayor with the help of the more cowbell guy. Lady Hawk is also running around the city, sometimes screwing around with Beetlejuice, sometimes fighting him. Then, in the third one, Jim Morrison has to stop Han Solo's nemesis U.S. Marshal and Ace Ventura from doing stupid evil green crap to Gotham, all with the help of that annoying kid from Scent of a Woman. Iceman from Top Gun is dating the new bewitched chick this time. In the fourth one, it's Danny Ocean with that annoying douche from Circle of Friends still hanging around. They get the girl from those Aerosmith videos to help out fighting the kindergarten cop and Mrs. Wallace from Pulp Fiction. I think Elle Macpherson is in there somewhere, too. It's only after that, in Batman Begins, that Qui-Gon Jinn trains American Psycho, who goes back to live with Nigel Powers and romances the girl from Dawson's Creek. Dracula is a policeman who helps him, who becomes commissioner in the next movie, appointed by that creepy eyeliner guy from Lost. The Brokeback Mountain guy is now acting like the You Can't Handle the Truth Marine Colonel in the first one. Tom Cruise's wife has changed into the girl from Stranger Than Fiction, and the Thank You for Smoking guy acts like the Men in Black agent from that one with Mad Mardigan.
Love it. Deadpan is the way.
Hi, this is CJ with another creative writing assignment from 1981. Asked to write a chiller, or a scary story, and I titled it School. My teacher asked me to run an errand in the office. The office was empty. I went back to the room, but nobody was there. I looked around. The clock said 3:30. I know something strange was going on because I left the room at 2 on the dot. I decided to leave. Maybe they were all outside. I couldn't get out because when I tried, all of the doors were locked from the outside. All of the lights went out suddenly. I despised being alone. I turned on one light in the classroom, but turned it off immediately because I saw a body. Whose? I don't know. It was very pale, and it had a rope around its neck, hanging from the ceiling, and it was dead. A ghost? It was talking to me. My neck hurts. Help me. As the voice trailed away, I ran. When I stopped, my heart was pounding away faster than ever. I could hear it. I sat down hungry and thirsty, only hungry for home, but thirsty for a drink. I saw a drinking fountain. My eyes...
Shut up! Shut up! I was 11!
I saw a drinking fountain. My eyes are playing tricks on me, I convinced myself, for the drinking fountain was bobbing up and down. At least, I tried to convince myself. I was scared, really scared. I was about to get a drink, but instead of water, an oily substance came out. I found a cup, put some of the stuff in it. I put the stuff in the lock of the door. I got outside. Everyone was coming out of school. It was time to go home, so I did. I ran home and never wanted to go back again.
I was 11.
Stop laughing at me.
Double
DJ.
On you.
Creamsicles of the 80s. Sweet creamsicles are made of this. Tainted creamsicles. When creamsicles cry. It's raining creamsicles. Creamsicles just want to have fun. Pump up the creamsicle. I want to dance with a creamsicle. She works hard for the creamsicle. She blinded me with creamsicle. Creamsicle on me. Our creamsicles are sealed. Walk like a creamsicle. You dropped a creamsicle on me. Creamsicle on Eileen. Everybody wants to rule the creamsicle. Smooth creamsicle. What have you done for creamsicles lately? Creamsicles killed the radio star. Little red creamsicle. Always some creamsicle there to remind me. Here comes the creamsicle again. Get out of my dreams. Get into my creamsicle. Creamsicle me up before you go-go.
Hi, Deadpan. It's SB with a few stolen paragraphs for you from a short story called The Lone Ranger and Tonto Fistfight in Heaven by Sherman Alexie from the collection of the same name. Can I help you? The 7-Eleven clerk asked me loudly, searching for some response that would reassure him that I wasn't an armed robber. He knew this dark skin and long black hair of mine was dangerous. I had potential. Just getting a creamsicle, I said after a long interval. It was a sick twist to pull on the guy, but it was late and I was bored. I grabbed my creamsicle and walked back to the counter, slowly, scanned the aisles for effect. I wanted to whistle low and menacingly, but I never learned to whistle.
Double
SB.
On you!
Hey Jack, SB here. Responding a little belatedly to your call for new content. And this is an attempt, not necessarily one that's going to succeed and have legs, but just an attempt. I've been thinking about it for a little while. And this really started with me spending some time on Facebook and connecting with some old friends, which I've mentioned in my submissions in the past. Every time I'm on Facebook, I have a strange feeling that I'm cheating on the deadpan. So keep that in mind. But I got invited to participate in a meme on Facebook that I thought would be much more interesting in this community than in my Facebook community, barring the deadpan folks that are my Facebook friends, of course. The meme is, list three overrated things and three underrated things, in your opinion. So I thought I'd throw mine out there. In my opinion, three overrated things are, number one, Starbucks coffee. Number two, U2, the band. Number three, Twilight, and that's the movie. I haven't read the books, and after seeing the movie, I have no intention of reading the books. I think I'm just too old and maybe too gay to get them. So, underrated things. The three underrated things, in my opinion, are Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 8 comics are awesome. Getting to know your neighbors, wherever you happen to live, also awesome and underrated. I think everyone should do it if you haven't. And number three is showing kindness when you don't have to, at least once a day. I've been making a real concerted effort to do that for the past several months, and it really makes a difference. Believe me. So, from the Facebook slut, SB, that's my attempt at some new content. Let me know what you think.
DJ Hooker's Adrian Zemed is perfectly cast in the role of a policeman in his top-rated show. He's a dancer, a
motherfucker,
an athlete, and a dedicated student of the martial arts.
Penfold, shush.
And from the used bookstore, I have the first two books of the Sharing Knife trilogy. I think it's three books. Maybe there are more coming. By Lois McMaster Buchholz. Those are going to Henry for Christmas. As well as Alfred Buster's The Stars, My Destination, because he hasn't read it yet. And the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game book for $10, because it's a $40 book and I know someone who's promising to locally run a game sometime. And then a cube calendar, those daily calendar things for next year for my mom, the proverbial cat, It has cute little cat illustrations and cutesy little maxims and proverbs, and she should be happy with that. I have my own cube calendar for next year, which is Sex Kittens, Single Cats Seeking Same. It's, yes, personal ads from cats with cute pictures for every day of the year, which should be lovely. Oh, ever so lovely.
Hello, my name is Gregory Lemon from the Myth Show, Myth Minute Podcast, and I am here at the New Media Expo recording this promo for the Deadpan Radio. Thank you. I am so excited. Deadpan is the way.
But now here's where I'm going to throw in the wild card. So if I'm ranking Watchmen at number 3, what am I putting above it? And this is something that really annoys me. And maybe it's because... No. It was written by Alan Moore. So there you go. But nobody... I rarely hear people talk about it. Everyone usually talks about V for Vendetta or League of Extraordinary Gentlemen or they talk about Watchmen. I never hear anybody mention The Killing Joke.
Now, actually, I've not read The Killing Joke, but I think I know... no spoilers. But,
right.
Because I intend to read it, but I think the subject matter, I know the premise, and it really, I think, turns people's stomachs a little bit, which it was intended to do.
Exactly. And that was, I really did not, the last time, the only other time I've ever been that terrified of the Joker, the only time I've ever been truly terrified of the Joker, even with Nicholson's performance, as great as it was the only times have been two times. Heath Ledger's Joker in The Dark Knight and Alan Moore. Alan Moore's Killing Joke, I must have read that thing 3-4 times. And it screwed with my head. And I continued to read it again. I had my college roommate actually took the song that Alan Moore wrote, that the Joker sings to the beaten and naked and traumatized Commissioner Gordon, and he used that as an audition piece for a traveling Shakespeare company. He got in, and they said it was because that was one impressive, and it was an impressive audition piece. And yeah, it was because it was Alan freaking Moore. And I really just found it just terrifying, absolutely terrifying, and gut-wrenching and stomach-churning. Yes, it was everything dark, but it was everything the Joker should be.
Right. The Joker shouldn't be funny. I mean,
no, he should not be Cesar Romero.
Right. And Jack Nicholson did a wonderful job, but even so, that wasn't right, because the Joker shouldn't be funny. He should make your skin crawl. He's supposed to be this complete psychotic. And, I've actually said this ages and ages ago. He's kind of annoying. Batman is this cool, Joker is all the things Batman is not. He's annoying, and he's out of his freaking mind. And he's not supposed to make you laugh. He's supposed to be everything he was. And I think Dark Knight Returns, I think he was, they got him right there too.
Oh yeah. Oh, well, in the Dark Knight. And in the Dark Knight Returns, you're talking about Frank Miller.
Yes.
Frank Miller. Okay. Well, I mean, I just remember the line that really grabbed me and said, okay, Christopher Nolan and, God rest his soul, Heath Ledger, they understood this character. For that one line where the Joker looks at Batman and he goes, "You complete me," and that just the dripping sound of Ledger's voice and all that, to me that was the Joker. And to me, after I read Batman: The Killing Joke, that became my Joker. That was my Joker, and it screwed with my head. And I felt like Alan Moore never. Or I shouldn't say never. Rarely gets some love concerning that title, and I just I dig it, man. I mean, I think it's, and that's what I mean by timeless. This was a comic book made back in 1988. I'm looking at Wikipedia to help me out here. It was written in 1988, and It completely turned the Legend of the Joker on its ear, and I found it nothing short of incredible. And I think it stands better. It's, you know, you could read The Killing Joke now, and it will still still transcends its time. It's timeless.
I'll check that out. I intend to read Killing Joke. I've heard it, but you're right. It doesn't get the high praise that Watchmen and Dark Knight Returns gets, but I've heard its praise as sung. In fact, I would even say Batman Year One gets a little bit higher praise, which I've read that, and that is excellent. That's worthy of praise also. But I'll check out Killing Joke. So are we ready for number one, or do you have more
to
say about?
You can pretty much figure it out, because it's in my bookshelf, and it's also it's one I haven't mentioned yet, but it was also turned into a movie recently, and I went back and I reread it before the movie came out, and I said I can't go to the movie now. As much as I wanted to see Hugo Weaving play V, as much as I wanted to see Natalie Portman apologize for all the crap she did in those god-awful prequels to Star Wars, I could not bring myself to watch V for Vendetta. Now, I've heard V for Vendetta is pretty good as a movie, provided you understand that it is loosely based off of concepts in V for Vendetta. I still think V for Vendetta is Moore's that's more as Beethoven's Ninth. I mean,
all
that
black and white, right? There's no color.
No. It's not all black and white. It's color. It's color. Okay.
Why did I think that?
And I don't know, Jack. It could be that Arizona sun.
That must be it.
And there's also the possibility. And I admit this. I'm a bit of a an Anglophile. I mean, I studied in London for 6 months. I mean, I love the culture. So maybe it's the fact that it's based in London that I'm a sucker for it. But at the same time, I went back and I read V, and I read V for Vendetta more than I read Watchmen, and I just think I just find that V for Vendetta is a sharper, grittier, and an even bigger mind screw than Watchmen. Also, and maybe this is why I rank Watchmen so much lower than V for Vendetta. In V for Vendetta, I really gave a shit about all the characters in here. I really, really did give a shit. I mean, I absolutely adored. Even near the end, I felt for V. I absolutely felt for V. And in Watchmen, you know, it's funny. Every time I read it, I feel sorry for a different person. But then I can't stay feeling sorry for them. The last time I felt sorry for anybody, and this is going to really, really screw with your with the community, I felt sorry for the comedian.
The comedian.
The last time I read it, I felt sorry for the comedian. He was the one I felt the most pity for.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say I felt sorry for him for all the crap that he was coping with. I don't know if feeling sorry for somebody is the same thing as you care about them. I just, you know, if everyone had been wiped out near the end, I would have been fine. Because I just didn't. I just had the only people the only one that I remotely cared about was Silk Spectre 2. Silk Spectre 2.
Why no love for Dan Dreeberg?
What, Night Owl?
Yes.
You know, he was kind of he kind of ticked me off, because I was like, dude, you know, you're walking around. He was a sad sack. He was like the Charlie Brown of Watchmen. You know, he really was, and he was the Charlie Brown of Watchmen.
Well, he just didn't want to end up looking like Devo. I mean,
yeah, well, there is that, but he had all the gizmos, you know, and he wound up getting it on with Silk Spectre. I mean, and even after he got it on with Silk Spectre, he still was kind of like, oh, I don't know. He was all whiny. I'm like, dude, do you want some cheese with that wine? Come on. I just, but I think there was something about V, and there was something about the comic book V for Vendetta that spoke to me, that talked to me, that made me go, this was the one that I read with Alan Moore, and I said to myself, okay, this isn't a comic book. This is something more.
I'm Adrian Zemed,
Jedi Knight and friend of Captain Solo.
And then there's a yarn and fabric store that is next to the bead store. So I'm opening the paper baggie. And I have a cheap-ass knitting gauge, which is sort of a special ruler for knitting. And then because they were very cheap at this store, I have sets of needles in three different sizes that come in sets of five that you can knit circularly with for like socks and sleeves and gauntlets and arm warmers and all those kinds of round things. So that was my errand running and shopping trip today. I have more gift catalogs than an elf could shake a peppermint stick at. Yo ho ho, Deadpan is the motherfucking way.
Hello, Deadpan. Just Joe here with the contents of my Deadpan severe weather alert.
Why? Vanamon says, I'm not wearing underpants on my head, though. Ditto says, I am the marshmallow, burnt to a crisp, unsmiley face. SB says, oh, naked clip catfish. Imaginary Number says, SB, I recommend a book, The Lucifer Principle. Quote, evil, close quote, is born in all of us, as with all life. Great read. Not to say we should just allow, quote, evil, close quotes, to get the best of us and run rampant, you understand. The Energizer Bunny says, you do a Google search on creamsicle, and this is the first thing that pops up. Somehow I find it disturbing. http://mrdiplomat.files.wordpress.com/2008/07/creamsicle.jpg. So it sounds like the contents of Just a Joe's warning got cut off. That was the entire audio file. I would love a voicemail from you. My voicemail line is 206-350-TOMI, 206-350-8664. Some topics are always interesting, like creamsicles or stolen lyrics or dumbass memories. Or, you know what, just say anything food-related if you want. Just send in some voicemails. 206-350-TOMI. 206-350-8664. There is a dearth of stuff in the archives and, yeah, repository thing. And, yeah, I think we're done for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Not that you're actually tuning anything. It's a fucking podcast, but, you know, you get the point. If you don't want to voicemail in your stuff, then email it to me. My email address is sphericaljackm@gmail.com. And that's it for number 125. And until next time, I guess I want you to stop for a few and consider the plight of the hobbit. His nasty, hairy hobbits' feet must get some seriously nasty athlete's foot. And you know, where in Middle-earth are you going to find tough actin' tenactin? All right, going to pick a mashup again to close out the episode, so I'm not coming back after the mashup. Dong Sai, mouth.
Thank you. son of Jor-El, kneel before
Zamed.